Well, we're back to our series on great words. And the word that I chose today is the word aroma. Aroma. Now, that may sound like a strange choice, but bear with me. I've said before that the words that I selected, which kind of came to me randomly, the words that I selected evoke thoughts and emotions and responses in us, and this one certainly does, aroma. It stirs emotions and memories and sometimes a visceral response. For instance, I have a visceral response whenever I walk through an airport or a mall and I come near a Cinnabon stand. I love that aroma. I have a weakness for that, and I have many sins to atone for. In fact, just about any bakery will do. But the sweetest memory that I have of an aroma, I've shared with you before, but I'll share it again, because you don't remember what I said last week, much less what I said last year. The sweetest memory I have of an aroma happened Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. for years. You see, my office was in the home. Elizabeth's office was outside the home. And she had to get up and get ready while I slept. And every morning, the last thing she did at her dresser was to take her favorite fragrance, Estee Lauder, and spritz some Estee Lauder on her. And the aroma would literally come to the foot of the bed and creep up the blanket and caress my nostrils, and it would wake me up. And I would kind of sleepily say, "Good morning, honey. Goodbye. Have a good day." And she would say, "Goodbye," kiss, and walk out the bedroom door, and there was a trail of that aroma that just kind of filled the room. It's one of my favorite memories. You know, if she had not put on the Estee Lauder, I might not have awakened. I might have slept through it. And she might have left the house, and I would have been ignorant about that whole thing. I suspect you have your own favorite aromas. For some of you, it's Thanksgiving dinner. Aha, you're already salivating, aren't you? And for some of you, it's probably popcorn in the movie theater. Oh. That's a weakness of mine. And for others, it might be the sweet, sweet smell of a clean baby just after they're bathed and powdered. Wonderful aromas that bring positive feelings and memories. But the most important aroma of all is described in the Bible. A number of times, and the first time we read about it is in Genesis chapter 8. It says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed a burnt offering, and the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma." That's the first time it's mentioned. "The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of man.'" Now, why did that aroma please God so much? It had nothing to do with the fragrance. It had to do with what that aroma represented. It represented repentance. It represented humility. It represented love. It represented substitutionary atonement for sin. And most importantly, it represented the heart of a worshiper. And it pleased God. God created you to worship him. And your love for him your worship of him is a sweet aroma to him. Now, some people might hear that and say, well, it sounds like an obedience issue. It sounds like almost like a slave who's having to praise their master. No, it's not like that. It's very much like the face of a baby. Imagine your baby. If you've had children, or if you've had grandchildren, or nieces and nephews, think back to when they were a little baby, a little infant, and they began to recognize your face. And whenever they would see your face, they would get so excited. And this toothless smile would come on their faces, and then they would start throwing their hands in the air, and their legs would start moving because they saw you. They recognized you. I remember my little David, isn't so little anymore. I remember when my David was little, I remember he used to just do this. He wouldn't stop just doing it because he recognized the face and he loved what he saw, excited about you. Every parent desires and every parent treasures those moments and those memories. And that is exactly what God desires and treasures about you. When you worship him with your whole heart. That's why he breathed life into you in the first place. Now, the aroma of Noah's sacrifice to God pleased God so much that he said to his chosen people that he wanted them to continue to offer sacrificial offerings to him. And the Bible repeatedly describes them as a pleasing aroma. And the next time we read about it is Exodus 29, where God said, "Take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head and then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma," it says, "an offering made to the Lord by fire." You can turn me down just a little bit, Steve. I'm rolling in the room, I think. There are several more references in the book of Exodus, but when you move to the book of Leviticus, it really begins to heat up. It's mentioned 16 times in the book of Leviticus, and all of them have to do with worship in the tabernacle. When the word aroma appears, it is usually associated with the sacrifice of an animal. But it's also, you know, when you cook the, do you like to do cookouts? Have you ever cooked meat on a cookout or smelled, you know that wonderful aroma? Are you thinking about it right now? All right. Yeah, get it. You're ready for lunch, aren't you? But in the Bible, it also refers to the sacrifice of grain and the sacrifice of drink offering, where there's no aroma. You see, it's not the fragrance. It's the motivation behind the aroma that pleases God. What motivation did the priest have when the priest offered sacrifices to him in the temple and later in the tabernacle? Was it because the priest loved him? Hopefully so. But you know what? I suspect that some of them were just cooking their dinner. Because you see, after they sacrificed the animal, they ate it. And so it was their dinner. And I suspect that some of them did it just because that's what we do here. That problem is still true today, and I'm not talking about the Jews, I'm talking about us Christians. Some Christians go to church just to go through the rituals and the traditions because of what they get out of it, not because it pleases God. And maybe they do it because That's what we do here. And sadly, many of them have no idea why they're doing what they're doing. They're just putting in their due. Again, that has nothing to do with the fragrance. It has to do with the motivation. What motivates you? What motivates you to come here on the Lord's Day, week after week? You know what I'm talking about. And I'm just going to leave that for you to ponder. Now, there's a whole lot more in the Old Testament about this pleasing aroma thing. But it's also found in the New Testament. One of the greatest examples is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, where it says, live a life of love. There's another mouthful, isn't it? Live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There it is. Christ gave himself up as a fragrant offering to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the epitome of a pleasing aroma to God. But here is an important question for you. Has anyone ever said to you that you are a pleasing aroma to God? The correct answer to that question is yes. Paul said it. He said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. He said, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. Did you know that? Did you know that you're supposed to smell good to God? Paul was known for sometimes using very colorful, even playful language and play on words. And this is certainly one of those times. So what did he mean by this when he said it? Well, to understand this, you need to understand the context of this sentence. And I'm going to start one verse earlier to help you hear the context. This is verse 14. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Did you hear that? Thanks be to God who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. Now, in that passage, Paul talked about a triumphal procession. And here's what he had in mind. He had in mind a Roman victory parade. After the Romans had conquered and defeated an enemy, they held a parade. Thousands of citizens would line the streets of Rome for this great day of rejoicing, and there was tremendous rich symbolism and magnificent beauty in those processions. The people knew all about it. Think about the Macy's Christmas parade. Get that sight and that sound and that enthusiasm and the people in your mind. Anybody here watch the Macy's Christmas Parade? Yeah, okay. Keep that in your mind and you'll see the joy of that day. First, in the parade for the Romans came the Senate wearing their best togas. And some of the other leaders of Rome also would accompany them. And second would come the spoils that they had taken from the defeated enemy. And sometimes those spoils were in the form of a picture or a model that they would make of something special to those who were defeated. That might be a model of a building or a bridge or something like that. Those were the floats in the parade, people. Those were the floats. And then behind them came all of the princes and the noblemen and the generals of the defeated army, all of them in chains. dejected. And next came the musicians. And they were playing their trumpets and their tambourines and other instruments joyfully and with energy. And they were right behind the defeated, rubbing it in with all their joyful music. And then next came the priests carrying smoking censers, releasing pleasant aromas into the air. And it was a very familiar aroma to all the people. It was the cinnabon of the day. They recognized it and they celebrated it. It was a sweet incense. And why were they doing that? They were doing that because of who came next in the parade. And who was that? That was the victorious general, wearing a purple tunic and carrying an ivory scepter. On the top was the eagle representing Rome. He was being honored that day for all of his victories. And the loudest cheers of all went up for him, like they do for Santa Claus in the Macy Parade. They were so excited to see this victorious general. And finally, behind him came members of his family and members of his army. And they were all chanting, "Io Triumphi! Io Triumphi!" And when translated, that means, "Hail, Triumphant One! Hail, Triumphant One!" Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you get into the spirit of that whole thing? That is the vision that Paul had in his mind, that he shared with the people, that they understood very well when he said to them in 2 Corinthians that we are in a procession with all the senses involved, the smells, the hearing, the see, all the senses. It's a perfect representation of Jesus Christ as our victorious commander. Hallelujah. The conqueror of the universe. Praise God. I love this quote. This quote is from Napoleon Bonaparte. Just after his defeat at Waterloo, he said, quote, "Alexander, Charlemagne, and I have conquered lands and kingdoms, but all of our kingdoms perished. There came a man from Palestine. He has conquered kingdoms and established them in the hearts of men. And his kingdom is still growing." End quote. Napoleon said that about the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 1815, more than 200 years ago, and his kingdom is still growing. Hallelujah. His kingdom is forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Now, review with me. Review with me what Paul said about you in 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to paraphrase the scripture now. Listen. "But thanks be to God, who always leads you in a triumphal procession." A procession in Christ and through you spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For you are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. You and I have conquered nothing. He is the conqueror. He is the victor in battle. He is the commander in chief. But we are the fragrance that announces his coming in the great procession. You have the picture? But wait a minute. There's more. in Paul's analogy here, much more. And this part is not a celebration. I've not read all of verse 15 yet. And here's what it has to say. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. In the Roman triumphant procession, there was one group that was not celebrating at all. Just one group. The conquered people who were in chains and humiliated, defeated. They were the captive princes, the captive noblemen, the captive generals, the defeated, dejected army, all of them in chains. And where were they going? Quite often they were marched into the arena, and all of the crowds from the sides of the street came into the arena with them, and then the Senate was there, and all of the Roman leaders, in order that they could ceremoniously slaughter the defeated for their amusement. Death. You know this, but there are countless people of all ages, all around you, who have not opened their ears to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may have heard some of it. They may have heard all of it, but they've rejected it. Or, amazingly, in this age, there are some who have never heard anything about Jesus. Nothing. The fragrance of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ has not reached their souls. You may think you know where I'm going to go with this, but keep listening. As I said, if Elizabeth had not put on the fragrance in those mornings, I could have slept in. I could have been non-responsive. I could have been ignorant of the fact that she was leaving. I might have not waked up. And when it comes to our being the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the aroma of Jesus Christ to others, if you fail to dress yourself with his aroma, some very precious souls in your very life might continue to sleep in ignorance of who he is. Ultimately, they might easily find themselves chained together in a procession of defeat and shame that ends in eternal death. I want to paint a picture for you. It's a hypothetical picture. It's a painful picture. And it's one that's repeated over and over again. It's about a girl or a boy, very young or not so young, who is related to you. The truth is that some of you don't know whether they are a Christian or not. And the reason you don't know is because there's this unwritten rule in your family that we don't talk about religion. You may be the only person who can spread the fragrance of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. But you don't do it. Why? Well, maybe it's because you're embarrassed. Maybe it's because you're shy. Maybe it's because you're afraid you will offend somebody and you don't want to spoil your Thanksgiving dinner by talking about politics and certainly not about religion. Now picture this. The time will come when you will join a triumphal procession. Because the victor is going to return and he's going to be celebrated for who he is in your midst and establish his eternal kingdom forever. And you will celebrate with the throngs when that happens until you see a group over there that's not celebrating. And there among them, you see your loved one in chains. And then they see you. And your eyes meet, and they call out to you, Grandma, Grandpa, Sister, Brother, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Help me! But it's too late. You can't help. And you hear them crying over and over again. And that's when your memory is flooded with the times that you did not wear the fragrance of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for whatever reason that you used as an excuse. I pray that that will never happen to me, that it will never happen to any of you. And the best way that I can think of to avoid that possibility is to put on the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be his aroma to your loved ones. Quit making excuses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know how overly dramatic that sounds, and I know how uncomfortable that feeling is, that I, that we, any of us could possibly stay in our little protective shell and not love you and not love them enough to present Jesus Christ. And Lord, you know that we know. And I pray, Father, that we will be a pleasing aroma to you and that we will bring more loved ones into the victory procession for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, help us. We pray in his name. Amen.